You do well in open your Bible in Revelation 4, and then open also your Bible in the book of Ezekiel. And you put one hand in Ezekiel and you keep it. And that way, when I mention a reference to Ezekiel, you already have this at hand. Again, thank you, Pastor Thompson, for reminding us about these beautiful people who have blessed us with their life and their work in the ministry, Brother Jack Asanja and Alcia Frey. All right? Now, I want you to I want to preach on the same package of material that you have before, and I get there. And if you don't have the package on the book of Revelation, will you raise your hand? If you don't have the copies, we reach you a set of copies on the package on the book of Revelation. Do you have the copy, Lisandro? Will you give a set to Lisandro of, there is more copies? Yeah, there's more copies, and he was sent to Lisandro, and all right, and so you have it, and for other, also give to other, give one to other, and there is these ladies here, maybe Brother Henry, do you like to have a package? All right, they're right here, this lady here, if it's one more, oh, okay, good, all right. Now, you have this package, and again, on the issue of Revelation, to make easy for the church, the expenditures to send, we will send you material via email, the package completely, from the first day on. We have the first day of lessons. You open the Bible in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. This is the only book in the entire Bible they have an outline and how to understand what the author of the book is saying. In verse 19, Jesus is instructing the apostle John to write. He is in an island in jail called Patmos. Actually, he was free in the island, a very isolated island out of Greece. And he was placed there for his faith in the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit used this occasion to write. Two things I want to say in 1:19. John was the only one who saw the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, the installation of God's kingdom. The only person on earth who saw and who write to us about these things. And that is why Jesus told him before he departed and said to the John will be one who will stay until the end. And that means John will be the only one that will see the end of the entire world as God has designed. And secondly, God tells us what to read in Revelation. In chapter 1, verse 19, the instructions are as these. Write the things which thou hast seen. That's the past of God's kingdom. And the things which are. That's the present time, chapter 2 and chapter 3. The time of the church, and the things which shall be thereafter. And so we have been advancing in the study. We have seen the heavenly door in chapter 4, verse 1, and then the heavenly throne in chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, and then the wonderful hour of the elders in chapter 4, verse 4, and then now we are in this wonderful section of the scripture. We have studied the page 30, which is the 4 and 20 elders, and the material that you have over there in Revelation chapter 4 and in verse 4. And now we like to study Revelation 4, page 31, Revelation 4, 6 to 11. Now, these pages you have with you is what I'm going to teach you. So I want you to work in the Bible. Don't worry looking into the pages what I said. You can read it later, and it will make more sense as we search the scripture together. Now, in Revelation chapter 4, in verse 6, we read, and before the throne, and I'm reading from the King James Version. Some of you have different versions of the Bible, and we'll read different things. And here's where the original language comes handy. Even different translators translate things in different way. I will have to retranslate some of the things here. Perhaps your Bible already have it. Okay, but I use the King James as a master document And then from there, I revealed to you some changes. And as the year went by, from the year 1511 until now, there were changes in documents that were found, and new Bibles have a different translation. But let's see what the Bible says. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like unto a crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And so this study, this section, is called in theology the four beasts, a look on the four beasts. And so now we're going to do a picking and comparing the scripture to unfold the meaning of all these sections. The most gorgeous verse is verse 11, is the seal of every Reformation confession of faith, that this is the supreme goal of every believer. I read it for you, and then later on we'll talk it. Thou art worthy, and this is John writing, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. This is the greatest expression of the Reformation, when they found the scripture and they found what we're supposed to be doing in this earth. In the meantime, let's go back to verse 6. The Bible said that they saw four beasts, you see, and before the throne there were a glass of sea like unto a crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around about the throne, these are visions of John, were four beasts. All right? They are a word for beasts. A beast is a wild, untamed animal. Is that right? That's what the English defined at that time in the year 1511, what a beast is. And the Greek word for that is the word thereon, thereon. And that is used in chapter 11, chapter 13, chapter 17, a wild, untamed animal. But here is a different word for the word beast, is the word zoom. And that word is a living creature. From Zoe, life, zoon. Zoe is life, and so zoom is a living creature. So, the translation should be, there were four living creatures full of eyes before and behind. Thank God that we have the book of Ezekiel that will help us to understand what these things are. They are not angelic beings, these four living creatures. They are not angelic beings. Angels are in its own class. You see in chapter 5 and in verse 11, the Bible says, And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. So you see, angel is one thing, the beasts are one other thing, the elders are another. Now the word beast over there again is living creatures. So they are in a different category. So these people mentioned in chapter 4, verse 6, are not angelic beings. They are not representatives of the redeemed human beings. They do not join in the redemption song. Look in chapter 5, verse 8. To 10, chapter 5, verse 8 and 10. And when he has taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign forever. And so the living creatures are not king and priests. They are no elders, for they have no thrones or crowns or harps. So who are these living creatures that God mentioned here? Now, remember that I asked you to go to Ezekiel. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel now. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament to find out who are they. Ezekiel chapter 1. Now, remember those figures that have eyes all over them and so on. They are expressions of God. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24 to 28. the throne of God never is alone. And I'm going to go into the Old Testament and show you. They're always guardians with different names, but always guardians there. Now, these people are guardians of the throne of God. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 24. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of a great water, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of a speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their head when they stood and had laid down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their head was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins, even upward, and from the appearance of his loins, even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the ball that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And so in this section, they make up the section and reveal the intelligent and spiritual insight of things in the past, present, and to come. And they serve all the time before the throne of God. If you go back to Revelation chapter 4 and in verse 6 to 8, they tells you that they serve the Lord all the time. The Bible said in verse 7, and the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day nor night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord Almighty, which was and is to come. So there are no men, there are no redeemed people saved from the earth. They are guardians of the throne of God. They are there in heaven constantly, all the time. Now, when those people, when those guardians are mentioned in the Bible for the first time, the first time the Bible mentioned that the throne of God has guardians around is back in the book of Genesis in chapter 3. No wonder Pastor Thomas and myself like the book of Genesis because carry everything you need. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24, Adam has sinned, disobeyed God, and was saved by God through the killing of the lamb and covering him. And then God sent him out. And so the Adam will not return to the Garden of Eden. Look at what happened in verse 24. So he drove out the man. The man means mankind, Adam and Eve. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims. That's the name that God gave them to these living creatures. And a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So they were guardians of God's, and in that section they are called cherubims. They preserve the entrance of the paradise. They were guardians of God. This is the first time that those guardians that you see in heaven, you will see it here on earth. Now, I want to say this so your mind get used to. Whatever you see in the tabernacle, you will see in heaven. Remember, the tabernacle was the pattern of things to come, said the book of Hebrews. And so later on, we're going to go into the tabernacle, and whatever you see in the tabernacle is what you see in heaven. Now, when Moses was given the pattern for the tabernacle, he was instructed to make an ark of the covenant with two cherubims around. I want to read a long passage in the book of Exodus, Genesis, the book of follow, the book of Exodus in chapter 25. And I have to read a lot of scripture so that you rely upon the scripture on the information. In chapter 25 of the book of Exodus, verses 1 to 22, you have the pattern of the tabernacle. And on there, he was instructed for the protection of God. Let me read it for you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. In other words, offerings should not be taken by force, should be taken willingly, all right? And this is the offering which ye shall take of them. Now look at what God wants. Gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skin dye red and badger's skin and sealing wood. Oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense. I asked brother, forgot the name, the brother who was a carpenter and did my office and covered my office with wood. I said, I want sheeting wood, and it was so expensive we cannot do it. I use acacia wood from Lebanon, but it's just amazing how God detailed the thing. Verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So God saying, I want to make a tabernacle, I want to make a place where I'm going to be there. And this is exactly the copy of what God is doing in heaven. So people say, I don't know what is in heaven. Yes, I know. Whatever was on earth was in heaven. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of sheathing wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. Now a cubit is dimension from my elbow all the way to here, all right? That's a cubit, all right? And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, with and without, within and without, and shalt thou overlay it, and shalt take upon it a crown of gold around about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of sheathing wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put unto the ark the testimony, into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. That will be the Ten Commandments. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims, listen to this one, of gold, of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make the 1 cherub and to the one end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandments unto the children of Israel. Thou shalt also make a table of sheathing wood, 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit of the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half high thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereunto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of an hand breadth around about, and thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. Can you imagine the thousands of millions of dollars it costs to make a building like this today? Now, the key that I want to make to you is this. They were in that construction. Here again, we see these cherubims were guardians of the mercy seat, and the mercy seat, as you heard the reading, was the place where God's going to meet with Moses and with the high priest. And God was not unprotected, God was always protected. Now, it is not until Ezekiel's vision of the cherubims that we have a description of what the cherubims really are like. So we go back to Ezekiel, and I want to show you what Ezekiel has to say about the likeness of the cherubims, okay? And I don't want to read the passage 1 to 25, but I want to state where they are in the verse of the scripture. They are in the likeness of men, Ezekiel 1 and verse 5. Also, verse 5. Also, out of the mystery of came the likeness of four living creatures, and these was their appearances. They had the likeness of a man. So the four living creatures of Revelation are now here in Ezekiel, this Christ for you. They have the likeness of a man. They have four faces and also four wings. Look at verse 6. And everyone had four faces and everyone had four wings. Also, they have feet like a calf foot. Verse 7. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. The front face was the face of a man. Look at verse 10. As for the likeness of their faces, the four had the face of a man. The four face has the face of a man. The right was of the lion, said here, the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four also had the face of an eagle. So the front face was the face of a man, the right was the of the lion, and the left side was of the ox, and the rear part of the face was of an eagle. The whole body of their back hands and wings were full of eyes. Look in chapter 10, I think it's chapter 10 of Exodus. I look over there in a minute. In verse 12, where they make that description. Exodus chapter 10 and verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out. They had no, that's Ezekiel 10 and verse 12. And their whole body and their backs and their hands and their wings and the wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that they four hands. So Ezekiel chapter 10 verse 12 described that they were completely full of eyes. And so it is amazing how these living creatures are described. Now, in John's vision and Revelation, the creature has six wings. Remember, if you go to Revelation chapter, I think it's verse 8 in chapter 4 of Revelation, where they tell you that it has six wings. And the four beasts and each of them, six wings. Yes, six wings. So, in John's vision, then the cherubims, are described in a different format. In verse 7, they tell you they are lions, and the first beast was like a lion. See, in verse 2. And the second, has a calf. The second beast like a calf, and the third beast like a face of a man, and the fourth beast like a flying eagle. And so, John, living creatures, has six wings. Verse 8 said, and the four beasts have each of them six wings about him. But Ezekiel's vision has only four wings. All right? And so, some people make this a different type of creature. Now, in Ezekiel, the living creatures were accompanied by the Holy Spirit. And I go back to Ezekiel. I read it for you in chapter 1 and in verse 12. The Bible said, and they went everyone straightforward whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. So they were together with the Holy Spirit, and traveling wheels, which show they were in a mission, a purpose, where to go. Now, there are no wheels in John vision. So in the vision of Ezekiel, you have wheels where these cherubims move on around, and not in John. Now, why there is not wheels in John? Because the scene in heaven is in a permanent place. Heaven is the permanent place of God. It's the tabernacle of God, and God doesn't move. But in the tabernacle, remember, the tabernacle move. They move place to place. And so the pictures of the cherubims with the wheels is a picture that God is moving with his people. But once we reach heaven, God is saying to John, in heaven everything will be stable, I will be there, and nobody moves, and that's the final destination. You don't have to take a bus to see God in the next corner. It's the final destination of mankind. So I have learned remarkably that my eternity place is not a moving place. It's not another after another. Once I reach eternity, that's my final destination. Is you and I have, and we do have some people who die in Christ. They are there in the final destination. And God doesn't move from there. Doesn't move from this place to the other, and we have to run where God is. God is going to be in one place, and that is his. Now, in the camping and traveling of Israel in the wilderness, there was a fixed relationship of the 12 tribes of the tabernacle. That's what we read the other day right here, and we're going to read it when we get to Revelation. Remember the tabernacle, and remember the people of Israel. All right? Now, when they camped, the tabernacle rested in the middle. In other words, when they were moving, the tabernacle stopped, and that was in the middle of the entire camp. Let me just review your mind, or refresh your mind. The tribe of Judah, there were three tribes, on the east, bearing the stand with the figure of a lion. The tribe of Judah, they include three tribes, will march, and they have the stand, and the stand have the picture of a lion. They will be on the east. The tribe of Ephraim, composed of three tribes, rested on the west, and the standard bearing the stand of an ox. Then the camp of Reuben, composed of three tribes, rests on the south with a standard bearing the figure of a man. And then the camp of Dan, remember, composed of three tribes, rested on the north with the standard of an eagle. So we already have these pictures of Revelation right there in the tabernacle of when God formed the tabernacle. So here is the picture. The tabernacle is the presence of God and is in the middle of the people. So the tabernacle of Israel, that building, that luxurious, beautiful building, signify the presence of God and rested in the middle, and the people of God rested on the sides. All right? It was surrounded and protected by standards that bore figures of Ezekiel and John and living creatures. In other words, those stands of the people, they have figures from the book of Ezekiel and figures from the book of Revelation. Here is what the Bible tells about these guardians. In Isaiah chapter 6, remember, the vision of the temple, the living creatures called seraphims are about the throne. So in Isaiah, the protectors, they are not called cherubims, they are called seraphims, and they are above the throne, all above the throne. In Ezekiel, the vision of the cherubims, the living creatures, supported the throne. They hold the throne. But in John, the vision were around or in the midst. They do not represent the church, like some people think. Rather, are attendants, or as we call today, officials attached to the throne of God. If you go to an embassy, always there is an attaché. Jacqueline is one of her dreams is to be an attaché in an embassy. I mean, you are attached to that government. And these people were attached to the government of God. Now, the 24 elders represent the redeemed people of God. And now you go to Revelation chapter 4, and then you see the 24 elders, what they do in heaven. They are no guardians of God. These people are praising God. And let me read it for you, verses 9, 10, and 11 in the book of Revelation. These are the 24 elders. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, that is verse 9. Verse 10, the 24 elders. Now remember that we studied last study that the 24 elders represent the believers from the Old Testament, the believers in the New Testament. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. Remember that there will be an examination of believers and there will be a given price for the believer temporarily until they cast their crown. Whatever you do on this earth, whatever your sacrifice and your dignified life in this earth will bring, remember there were seven crowns in line. Those crowns will be given to you temporarily until the moment comes when you say, God is not me, is you, and you bring that to God. And then unanimously they said what we all have to say: Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and they were created. And so what I want to say tonight, and you can read the material, was a soft reading to it from my editors, and you can see it. What I want to say to you tonight is this: in heaven, there will be the same pattern that is on earth. The tabernacle is in the middle. We study in our church membership class. Where is Christ when we are meeting in church? And let's see. Matthew chapter 18. So where is Christ when we meet in church? Where is Christ? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. Jesus says in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I, where? In the midst. Why? Why not in a corner? Because the tabernacle, when the tabernacle sits, is in the midst. Remember? The tabernacle sits in the midst, and the tribes, the conglomeration of three tribes in each side. And so Christ is in the midst. And so in heaven, Christ again. The throne of God is there in the midst, and we are all around them. And so you don't have to wonder, where am I going to be in heaven? You're going to be in some section all around the throne of God and not too far from it. And that is the picture that John, that God gave to John in a very difficult format that took me hours to look on it and hours to look in Isaiah and Ezekiel. And when you see those pictures, you see that God has his own celestial beings, more than angels, called cherubim, seraphims, living creatures. These are special armies of God around God. These are the attaché of God who are there for God day and night. And then we are all around. You know, you don't have to ever dream that God will not be alive. You don't have ever to worry what's going to happen to God. God is secure in his holy place. And he gave us a picture in the tabernacle. And John now gave us a picture of what he sees. God now finally reaching the top. And then these angelic beings, all creatures, all around him, protecting the most holy person in the entire hemisphere. And then we going to be all around. What a remarkable description. These are not people before or after the tribulation and this and that. No, this is what God is. He's more greater than all of us. God is more greater than any institution. I watch the news and I see our president landing in Africa, and the first thing that lands is his automobile. It costs $500 million. It's in a special car that you can throw a bomb and nothing happened to the car. And the first thing that airplane from the Air Force, War Air Force, that's just landing like this, and you see that car coming out of the plane and over there, and you see another car similar to that over there with the same flags and anything, so you never know where the president is located. And the president doesn't go out of the plane, and then the car arrives, both sides of the plane, and both sides are people coming out. You cannot distinguish who they are. They go into the car and they move around. And around the cars, all cars and motorcycles all going around as the president moves into Africa, into the guest home. I tell you, that is nothing. I thought it was awesome. Cost millions and millions and millions of dollars to the United States of America, that display of power. But I thought it was awesome. But nothing compared. Nothing compared to the description of my God in heaven and to his glory. And these angelic creatures with eyes everywhere. And I added, and computers everywhere, so they know everything. And they protected the person of God, our Savior. Are we not blessed to have a God who's in control of everything? So what happened in America, what happened in Germany or Russia, it's peanuts. When you have an appreciation of who God really is, boy, that we are secure. God, that we have a God that we can pray. That's what I say to myself. How come people, I heard this morning about 5:30, a good sermon on prayer. And the pastor was saying, how come people don't come to pray when they, he said, one of the sins of America is people are prayerless. That people do not pray. How do you pray when a God is so bigger? And when you see that you are praying to the majesty of heaven, who is like that? You guys care. Is it me? A little tiny ant praying to that majesty in heaven? Yes. You know why? Christ died for you. And he is our priest. And when we pray, why do we close our prayer in the name of Jesus? Because he's our priest. It's not in our merits. This is what we are saying. No, in our merits, but on his merits. See, I don't dare to say Gabriel prayed because he's Gabriel. But when we pray in the name of Christ, then Christ said, I know that Gabriel. And God hear my prayers. God, who is with the 24 living creatures around, hear my prayers. I tell you, more you learn about the glory of God, I care less about theology. I care how great God we have. I'm glad that you choose how great thou art. How great is our God that we can trust him for all the details of our life. And that nobody, no Russians, no Americans, no Germans, no Koreans, nobody can touch heaven. It's super protected. Thank God that you and I believe in him. Father, thank you for your glory. Lord, thank you that you are a mighty God. Thank you, Lord, that you said for two or three gathered together, I'm in their midst. And thank you, Lord, that as was in the Old Testament is today, you encamp in the midst of your people when we speak about you and talk about you. Lord, we are a blessed people who knows a mighty God. We know just a tiny little glimpse about you, how glorious you are. Why should we be sometimes depressed? Why should we be sometimes a little down? Oh God, help us to raise the eyes of our spirit into the throne of a mighty God and say, thank you, Father, for what you are. In Jesus we pray, amen. God bless you. All the details are in the writings, very small. Pardon me?